Welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne Fornari, clinical nutritionist and physician assistant, and my co-host, Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Every and creative ways to help you make sense of health information, family. With years of clinical experience between us and cutting-edge technology, information to help you. Welcome back. And to an interesting day.
Hi.
And an interesting day. The begin have told us to do in relation. It begins with,
I can't help.
Begins with no eggs, no butter, PUFAs, polyunsaturated fatty acids, margarine. It continues with high fibers, high fiber diets. And then it continues on, no coffee, now coffee, no chocolate, now chocolate. And it just goes on.
Oh, no, again, cadmium and lead in your chocolate. Look out.
Look out. Watch out. What about the arsenic in rice?
Yep.
That's why all the whole continent, the whole island of Japan is a little bit slow because of the arsenic in rice has hurt their brain. What else? What else is there? That was sarcasm, folks.
I think so.
I understand because I think they're brilliant or can be, just like the rest of us. So what are we dealing with? We're dealing with all these myths that were put forward as science. And yet, even still, they have been proven to, one, have hurt our health as a society, changed our whole way of eating, and ended up being totally wrong. You know, we didn't have a weight problem when we were eating saturated fats. I want to tell you a story. Carol's heard the story. I don't think I've ever spoken of it on the radio before, but my son was 7 years old, third grade, and a health teacher came in and pulled out the food pyramid and said, we should eat all this wheat. And my son, who was like 8 years old, he said, well, that's not good for you. All that wheat isn't good for you. And then they had just a couple of eggs a week. And so he said, eggs are good for you. So the other kids in the class said, oh no, they're not good for you. And they got in an argument in the class. So the next day, my son went back, and here he's 8 years old. He said, you know, the food pyramid is not based on science. I wonder where he got that from. And then 2 months later, we cut out an article from the paper where they've changed the food pyramid because they've allowed more eggs because they find they're so important for the brain and the brain's ability to send messages. It's so high in choline, and it's not. Oh yeah, another one of them is eat egg whites.
Oh yeah, that's really bad.
That's really brilliant.
There's biotin that you absolutely need to use with the whites and the yolks. And if you don't eat it together, you could create a serious biotin deficiency.
And more than that is you can't absorb the protein because it's imbalanced. And the ability to absorb the eggs, eggs are number one protein in the world. And very healthy and very absorbable. And our ability to absorb them and to absorb the nutrients out of them is the yolk and the white, the albumin, together. And that creates the complete protein that allows absorption. So today, guess what we're going to dive into? Thanks. We're going to dive into good fats, bad fats, and we're going to discuss them. But you know what? We really would like your input. And I'm giving out the number early because if you wait till the end of the show, then we have to rush you through or we can't pick up the phone. So the number to call is 212-209-2877. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to hear your comments because some of what we're saying is going to be, needless to say, controversial.
It's controversial if you go on Google and you look at what WebMD says. You look at Harvard, you look at Johns Hopkins. It seems to be that everybody's on the same message. Saturated fats, bad. Polyunsaturated fats, good. And why is that? It's interesting when you go to these professional medical school sites or whatever, they like to put out a lot of information, sort of the propaganda, but they never put out the references. It's like, it's enough that Johns Hopkins told you, right? That this is it. Oh. And when you start digging deeper, everything is not as you would think. Well, and one of the things that is really true is the development of using oils from seeds and vegetables is really very short in terms of human history. We never ate that kind of thing. Yet it's being promoted as absolutely good food for us. There's probably on your food pyramid, fats were the very peak, as I recall. And in that peak, if they elaborate more, it's exactly what they're promoting, the unsaturated seed oil and vegetable oil fats.
I want to interrupt you here because Johns Hopkins was where they studied and created the ketogenic diet for epilepsy.
We already have a caller holding.
Oh, that's wonderful.
They and took your suggestion, Corinne, today.
Definitely. Hello, you're live on BAI. This is Corinne Fernari.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
How can I help you?
Oh, okay. Let me take my, let me shut the radio off. I'm glad I got you. I have a question that's been plaguing me for quite some time now.
Well, I hope and we can answer it.
Well, you better than I. I listened to Gary Null. Gary Null is a big proponent of a vegan diet. And then I listened to a fellow by the name of Dr. Ken Berry, who's a proponent, a big proponent of eating meats.
And the carnivore diet. Now,
a carnivore diet, yes.
Yes, I know Ken Berry. Meat.
And so I'm very confused. Now, from my own personal experience, I've been eating a lot of meat lately. I've dropped weight, never that I never really had a problem with the weight, but I'm concerned about sugar and insulin resistance and all that. And I feel great. I dropped a lot of carbs. I just eat a lot of meat. So I don't know if Gary Null is going to come after me now with a baseball bat.
Well, let me tell you. Can I tell you, see, it's very interesting in that foods are closer to religion. You know, people don't, just like Carol said, they don't cite science and they just speak of facts. But there's no science behind the facts. Well, do you know where vegan came from? It came from the Seventh-day Adventists in the end of the 18th century. And this young woman, her last name was White, I forgot her first name, would go to sleep and go wake up in trance. And at that point, she said, never eat anything with a face. God had come to her and told her never eat anything with a face. So we've had vegetarian diets. They ate some cheese. They ate some fish. They ate lots of vegetables. We've had that before, but it was more balanced. But then when vegan came along, never eat and no dairy, no eggs, no meat, no fish, and just vegetables and grains came along. And at the same time, right after she made her edicts that came from God, Kellogg was one of her followers. And Kellogg, because people wanted to be very pure, created Kellogg cornflakes, which were made specifically to reduce sex drive, to stop masturbation, and to reduce sexual activity. And he did it consciously, because what he said was that meats aggravate people and create a more active sex drive, whereas grains will slow that down. So we have to look at, you know, where vegan came from and look at the science behind it. But also, you have to look at you and your body in two ways. One, does the vegan give you enough vitamin A, vitamin E, vitamin D, vitamin K, but B12, B1? Are you getting
carnitine?
Carnitine.
It's very hard to get it on a vegan diet.
Very hard. It's a meat product. One of, I remember Dr. Cunyon, Carol and I used to study under a Dr. Cunyon, Dr. Richard Cunyon, and he had a patient that came in and couldn't stand. Her muscles were so weak, she was falling over. She was young. And he studied her, and this was before they had all the wonderful tests that they have now. He studied her nutrient balance, and he found that she was low in carnitine. She was a vegan. She was low in carnitine, and when she was given carnitine, she became strong. Her muscles became strong again. And it mm-hmm. was like a night and day turnaround type thing. So what you have to do is look at what you're physically comfortable and what your body feels best at. And also you have to understand and maybe even take some nutrient tests to find out what your body needs. Carol?
Right.
That's true. I was thinking about Dr. David Minkoff. We've had him on this show.
Yes.
And he's the creator of a product called Perfect Aminos. But Dr. Minkoff's backstory was that he grew up in Madison, Wisconsin, and he went on a tour with the Boy Scouts to Oscar Mayer meatpacking place, which is a big employer in Madison, Wisconsin. And he vowed never to eat meat again. And he didn't for 40 years. David Minkoff was a marathoner, ultra marathon person, and he knew how to supplement things that he was missing. This part of his expertise. However, even in spite of that, and in spite of his product Perfect Aminos, which is supposed to give about 100% of your basic needs for proteins, he found that he could not recover anymore from his athletic functions.
Injuries.
And he started eating meat. And it's made a big difference. So he's still in his 70s now, running and doing marathons.
Triathlon
ones.
Ironman.
But he found that there were certain deficiencies you just can't make up with supplements. And if anybody could do it, I would think Dr. David Minkoff could. So there's some other things. women who are vegan have trouble reproducing. And I had a teacher when I was in nutrition school, and she was a strict vegan. And I was just appalled because she taught a cooking class. I didn't want to go to it, but I was forced. I go to her home, and she, 3 years after having a child, she had not started cycling again yet, and they wanted another child. Her child could not walk. Her child was clearly undernourished, very pale skin, very thin hair, and was not walking at 3 years old. Just incredible. Her husband was yellow from beta carotene and unable to convert to vitamin A, so skin was yellow. So there was a clear lack of very essential things in this strict vegan family. I don't know if he can make it up adequately, but their diet was very much full of a lot of grains and then vegetables and fruits and little else.
I think
so. I'm worried about this. Well, I think we answered the question.
I think we did. Do we have anybody else waiting? We walked on some sacred ground. So look at what you're most comfortable eating. Make sure you're eating adequate fats. And you can eat vegetables. They're generally low-carb vegetables, cucumbers, cabbage. You can eat vegetables, and those can be good for you, but not fruits. And so see what you're most comfortable eating and call us back and let us know. So, okay, no one else yet? Okay.
No.
We're walking on this, we're tiptoeing on sacred ground here. So what happens is Carol really hit an important subject, is the ability to conceive. And why would the ability to conceive be based on good fats, bad fats? Would be based on saturated fats. Why? Because they're the basis of creating hormones. Without good fats, without some saturated fats, 50% of our cell membrane is made up of saturated fat. Also,
we have another caller holding.
Okay, let me finish my sentence. Our hormones are made up of saturated fat. That is testosterone, estrogen, progesterone, cortisol. All of these are made up of saturated fats. And without saturated fats, we really, really can not balance our hormones. And that very definitely could be why we can't get pregnant. Carol, or hello?
Are we have a caller?
Hi, you're live on BAI.
Great, thanks for having me live. Okay, two things I want to talk about. Number one is her name was Ellen Wood. That was the woman, and she was in the early 20th century. But there were plenty of vegans in America and the world for centuries before that. You know, so there were vegan people in the world well before Ellen White in the early 20th century.
Vegan?
I'm 53 years old. I stopped eating meat in 1995, and I stopped drinking coffee, tea, sugar, nothing that has a mother. And I'm able to do an hour of yoga every morning, and I'm able to do 10-mile bike rides every day. So this idea of yours that being vegan, I'm going to miss a lot. I do have supplements. I have a multivitamin, and I have this omega oils called Udo's oil. But I look like basically people are shocked when I tell them I'm 53 because I look like I'm in my 20s. So this idea of yours that being vegan doesn't work, it's just a lie. There are plenty of vegan weightlifters. They're vegan athletes, top vegan athletes. Hank Aaron was a great ball player who was vegan. So I think your narrative is, I think you guys are biased against veganism. And I think you've got to really look inward at that and be ethical about it.
Now, there's something else. is I would like to see your sources for straight vegan diets prior to the late 1800s. I would very much like to see your sources because those conflict with mine, and I would be very interested to see what that has to say. And it sounds like you're very conscious and you're working very hard to create those balances. And I think that that's wonderful. I think that that's very good. We're not saying vegetarian is not possible, but we're saying vegan makes it much more difficult. Our ability to make our bones and create good, strong bones has a percentage of that has to do with saturated fats. Now, we can get saturated fats from caprylic acid. We can
coconut oil, palm oil.
But we need those saturated fats. It's also quite easy to get saturated fats from animal products. So, yeah, I would love to see the source of straight vegan diets before
Miss the 7-day Adventist
right, began to do that. So I want to thank you. I must admit, and I'm going to tell you our bias. Our bias is health. Wherever it comes from, our bias is health. And what we've seen is a lot of people have gone down these crooked pathways, working very hard to have health and following programs that the government gave us that were inaccurate, that experts gave us that were inaccurate. So yes, we have a definite, very strong bias toward health. And I would be very interested also to know what your hormone levels are. And that would be very interesting to know what level is your testosterone free and total. That would be something that you might want to check on. So thank you. Any more, Carol?
No.
Okay, so let's talk about some bad fats. Let's start. Should we start with the bad or the good?
Whichever.
Well, okay, I already started with the bad, so let's start with the bad. The number one fat and oil in this country is soy oil. And that, I'll name a few off and then we'll talk about them as a group. Then the next one is corn oil. Then the next one is cottonseed oil. And the next one is canola oil. And what that's one of those above or a mix of the above make margarine. And so we're definitely getting these polyunsaturated fats. Now, what we find is that soy, corn, cottonseed, canola, oh, they're natural oils. They're plant oils. Yeah, after they've been crushed, washed with a heavy metal hexane, then bleached 3 times, and then given a flavor. That's how natural they are. They're also made out of GMO, unless you go to a store and buy them, but they're generally made out of GMO grain or soy or and so you have a whole mix of toxic exposure and particularly bad oils. Understand that I can take a biopsy of your red blood cells or even your tissue and find out all the oils you have eaten in the last 3 months. Because where are they? They're in your cell membrane. And these oils, soy, corn, cottonseed, canola, are so thin, they be come, they incorporate into the cell membrane, and they allow passage of bacteria, virus that generally are not, that not generally, that are not supposed to be able to pass into the inner nucleus of the cell, but they allow that passage. Whereas if you have saturated fats, which generally or can make up 50% of a cell membrane fat, or if you have EPA or DHA, or what happens is those are thick, or flax oil, even flax oil, they're thick oils, they're very thick. And when the virus tries to enter the cell and go into the nucleus, it is not allowed. It cannot pass through these thick fat oils. And so,
Corinne, we have another caller.
Okay, so the oils are essential for immunity. Hi, you're live on BAI. Join the conversation. With us, or you can support us any way you want. It's fine with you.
Good afternoon, Corinne and Carol.
Hi, dear.
Hi.
How are you? I want to ask a question of
you. Your name, please?
I am Carlos, calling you from Little Falls, New Jersey.
Okay.
And hi, Carlos.
What test do you advise, to a blood test that would tell what you're deficient in?
Well, there are a few of them. Unfortunately, there's not one test.
I see.
One, there's a vitamin and mineral test, and it's a blood test. Another is an amino acid test, and it's also a blood test. And another is an essential fatty acid test.
Yep.
And that is also a blood test. And then there is a mineral test. Now, testing the trace minerals in your body. And that it also is a blood test. So that's a lot of testing. But when you're seriously on the trail of someone who isn't functioning adequately, you're going to run down those pathways. It's looking for something to create balance.
All right. So this is a test you would get these to bring the results to you if you were making an appointment.
Yeah, we can look at them. This is I don't have any relationship to them or any financial.
No, I understand.
You can get all of these tests on Life Extension, LEF.org, or Carol on her website has a very good lab. Do they do all these tests, Carol?
I have a couple connections to labs where you can order your own. However, if you're a New York listener, you can't do it in New York.
I'm in New Jersey.
You can order your own tests. And either Corinne and I would be happy to help you evaluate what you come up with.
Okay. All right. What's your website, Carol, to get that information?
It's thewellnessbydesignproject.com.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for your question. Are there any more, Carol?
I don't think so.
Okay. So we were talking about bad fats. And where do we get them? We get them in almost everything. Anything that's pre-made. When you go into most of the bakeries or you're getting pre-baked foods, they have these polyunsaturated fats. When you buy food at a restaurant, they have these polyunsaturated fats. When trans fats, hydrogenated fats, they're ubiquitous. Go on, Carol.
Yeah, I think you should define hydrogenated fats where they've under heavy heat, they take a polyunsaturated fat, add hydrogen ions to it, making it saturated and thick. And that's what the basis of many of the, like, over the things like margarines. I looked up Basil margarine to see what was in it. They have carrot and vegetable oils and palm oil. So if they've hydrogenated those vegetable oils, this is a very unnatural state of fat, so it makes it a very questionable fat. Corinne, we've got another caller.
Hi, I think we're on the subject that I knew this subject was important, and people feel confused about it. So, hi, you're live on BAI. Your name, please.
Hi there. I was disconnected. We were talking earlier. I was disconnected. I did want to give you some sources. There is a tribe called the Brokpa, B-R-O-K-P-A, in India. And for 5,000 years, they've lived in the Himalayas, which is an extremely harsh area. It's really hard to live in the mountains. And they've been vegan, right? And they thrive. So Pythagoras, for example, was vegan. The Japanese emperor Tenmu banned the use of livestock and the consumption of wild animals because of Buddhism. There were Persian emperors who were vegan, and so all across the ancient world, and this is all well before Christ, before 0 AD, there were vegan cultures out there. So I think you guys have to really do a deep dive there if you want to talk about sourcing.
I will. Yeah. I will.
Thank you. Thank you very much for
sharing
coming
that.
Back with
us. And I was disconnected, just so you guys know, it could be the technology, but it was hard to call in, had to call in a couple of times, and then I was disconnected during the call while you guys were saying, oh, what are your sources? What are your sources? And suddenly, I'm just bumped off the call. So you guys may want to look into that as well. So have a more awareness of what are the sources and the technology you're using. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
We didn't mean to cut you off. We're sorry. And so let's talk about some good fats that we can add to our diet. And one thing we like are grass-fed. They're saturated fats, but they're also grass-fed. And that can be cheese. It can be butter. It can we also could use olive oil, which is an excellent fat and oil.
This is a monounsaturated fat, so it's not in the saturated fat family. Avocado is there too, and that means there's only one bond that is not completely hydrogenated. So the saturated fats mostly naturally have complete bonds and do not take up more hydrogen bonding.
So
I think,
go on.
I think we may have a little problem. Let me check.
A little, I'm sorry.
There's some noise on your end, Corinne.
That's interesting because my, my.
Yeah, we have another caller.
Hi. You're live.
Hi. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. I just have a couple of things. One, I just wanted to say, Corinne, if you could leave a telephone number this time on the show. You usually do, but the last couple of shows you haven't.
Oh, I will be glad to.
Okay. And then my other question, when you were talking about the oils, what oil would considered good oil? Like, is it almond oil or?
Yeah, almond oil is very good. Avocado oil is a very good oil.
Avocado oil.
Olive oil is a very good oil. Then we also have palm oil, which is saturated, but also can be very good and very good for you. And coconut oil is very good for you. Now, nut and seed oils can be good if they're organic, but at the same time,
there's noise.
Yeah,
Corinne, there's a lot of noise coming from you.
Weird, because where I'm at is perfectly quiet and there's nothing. So how about now?
It's okay now.
Okay, nut and seed oils can be good. You want them organic. And you don't want to use lots of them. You want to use some of them, but not lots of them. And flax oil can be very good also. You want to make sure that it's fresh. You open the bottle, if it smells slightly plastic, you're definitely going to not want to use it. And Carol, any other thoughts?
Yeah, I would stay away from the seeds, the seed oil. Bean oils, like canola, cottonseed oil, canola, peanut oil. They're polyunsaturated enough that they can cause problems by creating, they have an urgent need for hydrogen, and they're going to get it when you are eating. The other thing is they oxidize very easily and create free radicals. So I'm staying away from that. I'm using another oil we should bring up is MCT oil.
Okay.
Medium triglycerides. Now this is what can come from coconut or palm oil. They're short chain fatty acids, and they come in a semi-liquid form. So these are very, very well absorbed, and it's the one oil that is easily absorbed into your brain, which does like these oils, and uses it as a source of energy. So I always, if I want to saute anything, I use MCT oil, and if I use it on my salads as an oil too, that and olive oil. So that's my favorites, and butter, of course, or ghee is just wonderful. But again, when you're talking about animal fats or even fats like coconut and palm oil, the thing to remember, you really want the best quality you can get, because fats can contain solvents, insecticides, pesticides for animals that have been exposed to it. So it's a problem.
Let me just ask you this before you go. Avocado oil spread, like butter in a container that they sell, is that any good?
Don't know. Avocado oil usually is liquid, a little thinner than olive oil. So look and see on your labels, look and see in what they have done to make it spreadable. If they hydrogenate it, it's not good.
It's Earth Balance is the brand. But anyway, okay. It just says avocado oil blended spread. So it's like butter.
Yeah. Look at the label, please.
Don't forget the phone call, the telephone number, okay?
Thank you. Certainly. Right at the end of the show, I'll be glad to give it out right before we go off. Okay?
All right. Thank you.
And I'll repeat it so in case it's blurry, then you will be able to hear it. So the best foods to get all your fat-soluble vitamins, the eyes, vitamin A, and it's good for eyes, immune system, especially viruses, fertility, and the vitamin A converts to beta-carotene. When you were talking about the yellowish skin, I was a very strict vegetarian. And you would turn my hand over and it looked like I had been holding a carrot, because my hand, the whole base of my hand was orange. And come to find out, I didn't know this at that time, I was hypothyroid, so I was not converting my beta carotene to retinol. So all this beta carotene was accumulating in my skin, which was creating this orange color. And then vitamin D, it can be and mostly made from cholesterol. It acts as a hormone made by our skin through UV light, and it's essential for bone, immune system, blood pressure, and for pain and muscle strength. Vitamin E is essential for neurologic, muscle, heart, vitamin K1, clotting, and DNA, and K2 is essential for calcium transport. All of these are made from good fats. So what you want to do and what you want to focus on is the highest quality of fats you can get, because what you have are these essential nutrients that are coming from the fats.
There's something I'd like to bring up, because as I was preparing for this, I found that I really didn't know how cholesterol is made in the body, and your liver is the biggest source. And it comes from acetyl-CoA, which is not really a fat at all. It's a starting material for proteins, carbohydrates, and fats. And this special class of fats, which are the steroidal hormones, and cholesterol and vitamin D and bile, are something quite different. Yet we often confuse this, because cholesterol is found in animals when we also intake fat, but they're slightly different in actuality. When your liver makes cholesterol, it has to go through about 20 steps. This is not an easy process, and it takes a lot of work. So it helps your body that you do eat cholesterol as well as fats to give the liver a break so it doesn't have to. Cholesterol will go up if you're low in vitamin A. That's where you need your thyroid. It's a indicator of low thyroid. It's an indicator of low testosterone. It's an indicator of damage. If you are pregnant, your cholesterol goes high because you're making another whole body. So it's really a shame that cholesterol, as well as saturated fats, are demonized. It helps your body and your liver if you do eat cholesterol, so which often comes along with the saturated fats. Corinne, we have a caller.
Okie dokie. And then I want to read something from a 1940s medical book.
And sorry, ladies, I wanted to interject about something. Before you go into the call, make sure whatever your mics, make sure that it's not brushing against clothes or materials or something like that. I just wanted to corroborate what Carol was saying earlier about you, Corinne. I'm hearing something in the background, and you may not be doing it on purpose, but just make sure that your area is clear from your microphone so we can get the best possible sound, okay?
Okie dokie. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Reggie.
So, hi, you're live on BAI.
Daryl McPherson, Bronx, New York. Are you able to hear me all right?
Perfect. Yes.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much. First of all, I really want to appreciate the information that you're sharing. Two, is there a website? Is there a website in which we can evaluate both proprietary products and the substances that you're suggesting, especially with regard to oils, in the context that my experience has been that if you fail to get organic oils, that you run into a lot of challenges if you just take something off the shelf that says what it might not be. There's very little regulation as to what percentage of the oil that you think you're buying is actually in the oil, and then there's some problems with some other things. Is that making any kind of sense?
There was a scandal about olive oil being diluted with soy oil, I believe, to quite an extreme amount. And I don't know what they did. You're looking for a Consumer Reports on food products, and I don't know of a site. Do you know one?
No, Corinne? I don't. But I treat my oils like I treat my supplements, in that I deal with companies I know. So, you know, Spectrum is an excellent company. Their oil is out of California. So I trust them very much, and it's delicious. Their olive oil is delicious. They have good, pure oils. Then I deal with a lot of Italian oils also, and the oil that we made available was perfectly pure. It was a Greek oil, and it was delicious and pure. So you have to do a little research on that one and find what you like and what's right for you, and then track down. And like I said, I deal with companies more than just oils. And I feel like I'm getting the best I can.
See, well, the challenge here is that the average person, if you tell them to do something, they will do it to the best of their knowledge. Unfortunately, most of us, including me, have a limited understanding of how the body works, which is the value of listening to programs like yours that give us a little bit of depth in what we're walking around in. And so if you say to someone, go buy some olive oil, they'll go take some Progresso or Johnny B oil off the shelf, and then they'll say, oh, that doesn't work, and they'll go right back into the patterns that they're used to. My thought here is that what's required is a website in which we could get an evaluation of the proprietary products, such as the ones that you're offering on the station sometimes, the mm-hmm. foods that we eat, and a place to actually purchase them. Otherwise, you listen to the information, you have very little understanding of how your body works, and you stay confused a lot when the results that, quote-unquote, you think you're getting aren't going to come about. Excuse me while I'm stumbling over my words. With regard to I'll let that go. I just want to appreciate what you all are doing, and I'm looking to do some outreach to see if we can help folks really get on a path to health and wellness as compared to all the diabetes and all the obesity that we're currently experiencing, simply because people aren't teaching us the way you are doing.
Exactly. When what happens is when we make, or when medical people make a suggestion and they come back in and the suggestion has failed, well, it's the patient's fault. They never look at the fact that the suggestion or the direction that they gave them was inadequate or incorrect. It's never looked at that way. It's always looked at, well, it's the patient's fault. But what we found was that from the 60s and the 50s, when we were pulled off all of these oils, the population followed what they were told. And the end result is all this diabetes and all this fear of good fats and all this fear of protein and eating out of control sugars and grains. And so what we have to understand is, well, finding help. I've lost my point. I'm sorry.
Teach you how your body works so that you will be better able to feed your body.
Exactly. And like I said, I go into a lot of health food stores and look around at those brands and do the best I can in terms of purchasing. Shopping is not an easy task for me. I buy one thing here, one thing there, another thing here, another thing there. Always trying to find the best for myself, my family. And I think that's what we all have to do, is get a more of a European attitude about food. And I remember I was in Italy, and I was in a winery. And what they said was, you know, this type of wine is made out of 80% this type of grape, 5% this type of grape, and 15% of the other type of grape. And they come in at any time, the government comes at any time, and they check it to make sure that it is absolutely perfect and the ratios are perfect. Whereas, so what happens is having a European attitude toward food will direct you to a better way of eating, demanding the best and demanding the best from where you're buying. And I'm seeing it everywhere. You know, Costco never had organic foods, and now they have, they're the biggest seller of organic foods in the country. And they're buying up farmland, and the farm are, and they're paying in advance, because sprayed land takes 8 years to become organic. I think it's 8 or 5, Carol, which is it?
Yeah,
8.
I don't know.
8?
8.
And so they're buying it up, paying the farmers to leave the land sallow, and they guarantee the purchase of all the product that they can sell after that period of time, that they can grow after that period of time. So what's happening is that we as consumers are changing the whole country and our ability to have access to a higher quality of food. So thank you.
Can I ask one more question about cholesterol?
Oh, sure. Guess what? We've got 2 minutes. So
you only got two minutes. I apologize. But keep in mind, could you talk about how cholesterol repairs the injuries to the inner lining the next time you speak?
Next time, I will be glad to. I pulled something out of a 1950s medical book, and this is what they say. And we've heard how horrible cholesterol is, haven't we? Well, I'm going to read. Cholesterol is a white compound, somewhat soapy to the touch, and is distantly related to alcohol. It is no alien poison in the body to be avoided by man at any cost, but an important element in the human body's chemical machinery. It is essential for nerve tissue, for instance, and a raw material for the production of several hormones, including bile. That was in the 50s. That was written in the 50s. So I want to thank you so much for spending this time with us. We have 1 minute left. Carol, when we're together, I always learn. And
yes, me too.
I always learn from our audience too. I'm so glad you called. Thank you very much for sharing your thoughts and your agreements and disagreements and questions with us.
And thank you, Reggie, for all your help, especially with getting the callers on. We really appreciate it.
And we'll be back next week.
So we'll be back next week. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
In conclusion, I'd like to say, remember, this information is not an attempt to diagnose or a substitute for treatment. As always, we urge you to take this and all other information we share with you up with your healthcare practitioner. Clearly, this comes under the category of taking charge of your health. Thank you so much for spending this time with us, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye. Thank you.